My guest this week is the president and CEO of JPS, Robert Early. On this episode, we cover a lot of different topics, so get ready. Go ahead and subscribe now. Thanks. Robert, thanks for coming on.
I'm happy to be here. Delighted.
Awesome. Let's jump right on in. So let's start with, how does one go from political science to running a large public health system?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about that the other day. I think 30 years ago, if somebody told me I was going to be the president and CEO of a major health network, I would have asked them what they were drinking and why they were drinking it. It's so fortunate. My career has taken some amazing turns, which I am just lucky to be the recipient of. I think the common theme in anything that I've done has really been trying to help people who seem to be left out. When I was in the legislature, and I served right at 11 years in the legislature, it was always exciting to help those people that needed a law passed or needed help with government regulation, who didn't have much of a voice. And I represented that voice, in my opinion. I tried hard. When I taught, I had the ability to teach at St. Edward's University and Texas A&M University. And I enjoyed that because I was in the classroom and I was trying to give voice to people who were learning their way in a new career or a new option. And then at John Peter Smith, it's wonderful because you are really getting up every day to help people that are struggling. They're struggling with their health. They're struggling with their lifestyle. In some cases, they may be struggling with demons they're trying to fight off. So that's just amazing to me to have that luxury.
There's a lot there. So at JPS, you guys obviously do a ton of things from the mental health aspect. Can you provide some context of, does Tarrant County have an issue with it? Are we average for a large city? I don't think, or speaking for myself, I have no kind of context of kind of some of those issues that we face.
We get about 1,500 to 1,600 psychiatric and behavioral health patients a month at JPS. And I honestly couldn't tell you if that's above average, below average, but I will tell you that mental health still has a stigma to it and that people don't want to talk about it. The thing that I find fascinating about the caregivers at JPS, the people that are constantly taking care of those in need, is the fact that JPS lives in two distinctive worlds. We're a level one trauma center, which means if you're in a challenging accident, you're in a really tough situation, you're going to be taken to JPS, and JPS is going to do everything with the seconds that are given to us to keep you alive, maintain your life. We have seconds to make those decisions, and we have an incredible trauma team which does that every day. In the mental health world, we're trying to create a partnership for the next 50 to 60 years of your life. We're just trying to create a partnership with you to get you to take your medications so that you're not scared to go out of your house, so that we can reduce those voices that you hear or the neuroses that are compelling your life and stifling you. We try to deal with that. So on one hand, we have seconds to make the quickest decisions to keep you alive. And on the other hand, we just want a lifelong partnership with you to make sure you can get through your day. And that's such an interesting world for me to be a part of. And I couldn't be more excited to be in the job that I'm lucky enough to have.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, from the level one, can you talk a little bit about that for somebody that's may have never been in one, like what those are like? I mean, I've heard about it. I just have never seen it. So I have no kind of context.
Well, and I think when it comes to level one, I really am an authority on level one because I was a level one patient.
Okay. How's that?
I actually had a major trauma. I fell from an attic floor, fell directly on my head, fractured my skull, and had a brain bleed in the upper left. Those kind of head injuries are what goes to JPS.
Okay.
So I was an actual patient. I was an actual trauma patient at JPS. So not only from a standpoint of a CEO can I tell you the kind of great work they do, I can tell you as a patient the great work they do. And a level one trauma, the best way in layman's terms, it's almost analogous to one-stop shopping. And that is when you come into JPS with a major trauma, whether it's a head injury, a car accident, any type of frailty that might come your way, JPS is going to take care of that, and they can do it all in that one building. You don't have to be transferred out anywhere. Every aspect of your care can be taken care of by that team. And that's a luxury, because when you're in those delicate positions and delicate situations, you don't want to have to be moved. Mm-hmm. So we can deal with everything. We're a major stroke center. We have an incredible heart program. So whatever you're facing, JPS, from start of that accident to the time you walk out of the building, we can take care of every aspect of your health needs. And that's exciting. And it's an incredible world. And the trauma team that we have, our trauma doctors, our trauma caregivers, are just fantastic. One, they're fantastic because they're just truly skilled people. And two, they're really good because they see it every day. They see accidents that you and I have a hard time imagining, and some of the challenges that a person finds themselves in, from a major car accident to some of the other incidents, and they're amazing how they handle it.
Yeah.
I've been in that trauma room as a CEO watching, and the calmness that takes place when you know that there is a helicopter coming in with somebody who's in really, really tough shape. The calmness that comes over those people is amazing. And how they do their jobs is science, art, and love all combined. And that's what allows people to walk out of JPS after a trauma.
I mean, it sounds like you guys are obviously doing a ton of different things. Can you provide some context of kind of where JPS fits into the mix with a Baylor, THR? Mm-hmm. I've done those interviews and I'm happy to have you on. So I'd love to hear kind of where you guys fit into the mix and when somebody would go there versus JPS, I guess.
The great luxury is Tarrant County is blessed with a really wonderful healthcare system, mm-hmm. from our friends at Medical City and our friends at Baylor and THR and the other facilities in town. We really have a great network of hospitals, and all of us have some of the same basic aspects of it,
yeah.
from our emergency rooms, which unfortunately are all overutilized.
Yeah,
all of us have, emergency rooms that have so many people coming into them. And I think part of what we have to do in American healthcare, and particularly here in Tarrant County, is get people in the best primary care that we can, get them to clinics, get them to see. And a lot of times, JPS has patients that, because of financial reasons or other reasons, have not seen a primary care doctor. And sometimes they're only coming because it's an emergency situation. What would be better is if we could get them into the strong primary care system, get them routine checkups, routine visits. That works much better. We interact really well, mm-hmm. with our
other
hospitals.
That's what it sounds like.
We have a great relationship with them. As a matter of fact, we just created a partnership with the Moncrief Cancer Center in UT Southwestern. That then is developing a really nice relationship that we hope to see grow with Baylor All Saints and with the Scott & White system, in that the facility, our new cancer center, is now right next to the Baylor facility. So our hope is that we'll be working with Baylor a whole lot more. And we look forward to that. And I have what I consider a very good and strong relationship with the CEOs.
Yeah.
But we also share physicians. We're a teaching hospital, mm-hmm. at JPS. So when you get out of medical school, we're a large teaching program. We have over 220 resident slots. So a lot of times those individuals are going to get out of medical school. They're going to come and they're going to go through JPS's residency programs, and then they're going to go on to the other hospitals. Some will stay at JPS and some will go to the other facilities. That's a great relationship that we have as well.
Yeah. One of the big things I wanted to hit on was how we can be better consumers of healthcare as a whole. And you hit on it there. I mean, would you say start with primary care? I mean, is that kind of one of the root causes that you're seeing, or what should we be doing to be overall better?
You bet. Well, I'll be a little bit careful because the only time I'm a doctor is when I play one on TV. So
okay.
I'm not a real doctor in that sense. But to me, if you start with the basics of life, if you start with a strong nutrition program, if you eat better, your engine's going to run better.
Yeah.
Very much like anything else we have that's mechanical. There's a part of you that's mechanical. eating better and taking care of yourself and exercising, if you're not smoking, if you're not excessively drinking, if you're not causing harm to your body, you're going to put yourself in the best position for if some issue does come up, your recovery is better, you're stronger, your immune system is stronger. So what we're trying to do at JPS is create that environment where you're actually changing lifestyles. You're saying, look, don't eat the stuff that's really bad for you. You don't have to go crazy and only eat stuff that has maybe no taste or you don't like and you're not going to eat. Yeah. But if you can modify what you eat and you can modify your exercise program, not everybody has to train for a marathon. But if you're in an exercise program where your heart rate gets to a level, I talked to the cardiologist at JPS and you can actually you can actually make your heart younger by exercising. You can make your heart stronger and prolong your life or prolong your heart life. Those are important things. And I think some of that is going back to the basics and exercising and eating better and then getting that primary care makes a difference to people.
Yeah. Is that predominantly done once people come to you guys, or is that done through marketing, or how do you guys go about doing that on kind of in Tarrant County?
What we're trying to do is work hard at different levels. Mm-hmm. We're trying to establish a very nice partnership with Cook Children's where we work in our school-based programs.
Gotcha.
And trying to get kids to understand the importance of good eating and exercise and trying to do those programs so that we establish good habits at a younger age so that we're not seeing people that are later in their life and have created habits over the past 20 or 30 years that are hard to break.
I read an interesting article about when you took over as CEO. What was that process like?
For me, it was fantastic. I hope it was fantastic for the others.
Yeah.
But I certainly enjoyed it. You know, one of the things that I did when I started is I would spend a lot of time in areas that I had not spent. I mean, I would spend evenings in the emergency room. I would spend evenings and days in our psych unit, going to those places to get a real feel for what they did and how they did it. I still do that. I still go to the emergency room. I was in the emergency room for about 5.5 hours the other night, just being with them and watching the intake and trying to be supportive and realizing what those individuals go through on a daily basis. But when I first became CEO, we tried to do a lot. One of the things that we tried to do is I would walk down the halls and the halls just didn't seem to have life. It was just brick. And at that time, I told an individual at JPS, I said, I want you taking pictures of everybody. Just take pictures. He said, what for? And I said, just take them and get me the pictures. We started putting everybody's picture up on the wall. I wanted the walls to come alive. I wanted people to see themselves when they walked down the hall and go, well, that's me. Yay. And establish that pride. And we were able to do that. And then we took it one step further by creating 35 by 45 foot signs of our employees, and we put them on the outside of our buildings because we have some incredibly wonderful people that work at JPS. I want the world to know that. I want the world to see them. So when you drive by JPS, you'll see a picture of a caregiver. And just by looking at that picture, my hope is you'll say, wow, that's the kind of care I want. Like that. I love that look in that person's eyes. I love the touching of the hands of those people. So I did a lot of that when I first became the CEO, and I still do it. A lot of my habits haven't changed. The other thing that might be a little bit different, I'm proud of my mother, taught me how to make pies.
So okay.
I like
what
to
kind
make,
of pies?
Whatever you want, I can make that pie. And so what I do is we deliver pies to employees and just for fun. Just, hey, you're getting a pie today. Now, the one thing I will tell you, and I don't know who's going to hear this, so the secret is going to be out. Here's the key to my pies, is on an 8-hour or a 10-hour or a 12-hour shift, you always serve them the pie in the last hour of the shift, and my pies taste much better. If people are really hungry at the end of a shift, they'll eat cardboard. So if I can give them a pie, I think the elevation of the good taste of my pies has gone up quite a bit. Yeah. So if I can do that and I can keep them in pies, it works fairly well. We do a lot of fun stuff at JPS because we deal with some really tough decisions during the day. I guess it was back in August. We did JPS game night where we invited all the employees to come out and have a night of games. And we played Family Feud, and we played Price is Right, and then we had 1,500 employees come out, and we just laughed and had a good time. I think those are important to have because we try our hardest to celebrate life. That's why we get up every day. We get up at JPS to come in to help people,
yeah,
make them better. And we want to do that for the people that work at JPS too.
Yeah. I mean, you hit on it. You talked about your habits and different things you did. I've heard you have three main rules.
I do. We have three main rules that work at JPS. We have 6,700 employees.
Wow.
Our overachievers will actually embroider these rules on their jammies, but the rest of us just memorize them. And the three rules that we have, rule number one is you have to own it. And the way we describe owning it is it's the difference between the car you rent and the car you own. If you own a car, you wash it, you wax it, you park it a quarter mile away from Walmart so it doesn't get dinged. If you're in a rental car, all that goes by the wayside because you don't care. If you work at JPS, you own JPS, treat it like the car you own, not the car you rent. Rule number two, you must seek joy. You have to smile once in your day at least. Everybody coming through the door, and we had 1.2 million patient encounters last year at JPS. The people that come through our doors are hurt, sad, lonely. Oftentimes, some of those people may not even have English as their first language, and that's a scary place to be when people are not even speaking your native tongue. We need to smile for those people. We need to make them feel good the minute they come in the door. The other aspect of smiling is if you're in a job that you can't even smile once in your day, go get another job. Life's too short. We see how life short is at a level one trauma center.
Yeah, I bet.
Don't stay at JPS or anywhere, wherever you are, if you're just truly unhappy. So seek joy is rule number two. And rule number three is a very basic, plain, simple rule. Don't be a jerk. We don't like mean people. I don't like people that get in your face and yell at you, cuss at you, do those kind of things. There's no purpose in that. So we tell people that if you own it and you treat this place like you care and you have accountability and responsibility, if you seek joy, if you smile for the others that come through our door and yourself, and you're never a jerk, you'll have a great career and a great life, hopefully, at JPS. And that's what we want to create. So those three basic rules not only are what we practice and what we preach, but it's also allowed every one of our empirical scores, our patient satisfaction scores, our physician satisfaction scores, and our employee satisfaction scores to all rise significantly.
Yeah. Did you have those from day one, or was that something you came up with over time?
Pretty much day one.
Really?
It was part of a thought process I had for better or for worse. And I said, look, when I first came in, I was getting sent a lot of books on leadership and getting people to do certain things.
You can kind of be overwhelmed by
this. And to me, it was just really straightforward, simple. Here's three basic rules of life, whether you work at JPS or wherever you are. If you treat people kindly and you have a belief in what you do, if you're smiling while you do it and you're never a jerk, I tend to think life goes a whole lot better. There's probably a few in this world that might benefit from that if they knew those three rules too.
I agree. Just given the role I'm in as a benefits broker, I've got to ask about kind of price transparency and things like that that are in the pipeline. I'd love to hear what your thought is running more of a public health system versus the guests I've had on from Baylor and THR.
Sure. We you know what we try to do at JPS is we try to put benefits package and rewards for our employees that retain employees and keep them a part of JPS. And one of the things that we started when I came in as being CEO is we did a lot of market studies to make sure that what we were paying, for example, a nurse was equal to or comparably priced to what our colleagues were paying so that we were fair. Public hospital, private hospital, or not-for-profit, in my mind, has nothing to do with it.
What it is,
especially with a lot of hospitals being concentrated in one particular area of Fort Worth, it's not a big decision to take a right or a left to go to work. We're also close. So if somebody raises their hourly rate, we're going to lose employees. So we want to be competitive in the marketplace. We want to provide benefits that make that person as whole as we can possibly make them at whatever level they are. So I think we have a strong benefits package. We try to encourage savings plans. We try to encourage through a 401k measure or others ways to save money. And then, as I mentioned earlier, even though it's not part of a benefits package, we do try to do small things that we hope make a big difference. For example, during the holiday season, if you work at JPS, you're going to be handed a free turkey, a free ham, or a free fruit basket. And somebody's going to say, well, that's kind of silly. That's kind of trite. It's during a Thanksgiving season where we should all take a breath and be thankful. And part of that is the gift of food and the gift of breaking bread with those you love. So we say, don't take this turkey, go home and make it for your family and enjoy your day. And if you don't want to do that, take that turkey and give it to a family who doesn't have something.
Yeah.
And that's sort of our same philosophy on our benefits and what we do financially for our folks is we do everything we can to make that life and that workplace as good as possible for them and their family.
As far as like price transparency on like healthcare and things like that, it's obviously in the headlines a ton. I'd be interested to hear your perspective on
sure. that. Sure. We have absolutely no problem. I mean, we try to communicate as best we possibly can to every patient and everybody that gets services exactly what their costs are going to be.
Okay.
And in some of the cases, we deal with a part of the population that does not have the ability
to
pay for their healthcare. But we will communicate to them what that is and the gift that a gracious community through their taxes and through their philanthropic efforts provide JPS. One thing that I think should be noted is we are a public hospital and we're proud of it. And we also are proud of the fact that we have such a giving and a caring community that helped us pass a bond package last year, which we're proud of. But also there is the belief that JPS runs totally on tax dollars. And actually, local taxes contribute 40% of our budget. We also get additional tax money and additional support from the federal government. And we also have a portion of our budget that comes from our own efficiencies and from paying patients.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a paying patient and come to JPS.
Mm-hmm.
We take everybody that comes through our front door. And I think our services have gotten to a level where people understand that value as well. And we are getting not only those who are having a struggle financially, but those who do pay. And we are very transparent in what those charges are, mm-hmm. what those services are. Even to those that will not pay the bill, we do our best to communicate the gift that has been provided.
Yeah.
And we do that in such a way that we are very respectful. Because that's something that I think people who are not in that financial situation fail to realize, that it's hard receiving charity sometimes from people. It's hard when somebody says, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to cover all your healthcare bills. There's a part of that population that struggles with that. And we're very, very sensitive to that. We want to make people feel not only physically well, but we want them to feel good about not only the care they got at JPS, but the services that are provided for them. We try hard not to call it charity care or anything like mm-hmm. that. It's kind of a demeaning term. We just say, look, we're well aware of your situation, but what's more important is we want to make you whole.
Yeah.
And we're going to make you healthy, and we're going to do everything we can to make this the best experience you can. So, and we keep a very openness to that.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And it sounds like you're doing a ton of things to preventive medicine and kind of getting at that root cause versus just charging whatever and seeing them again in 1 month.
Yeah, we don't actually, for JPS, the less patients we could have would actually be great for us because
it sounds like you guys are
swamped. We've kept a lot of people healthy then, and we've created primary care. We're probably the only healthcare system that would want less patients because that would be something that the taxpayer could ultimately benefit by. And our goal is to figure out how less people are in beds at JPS. They're healthier, they're stronger, and they're getting the best care, but they're also, their life is better.
Yeah. How can people get involved if they listen to this? Are you guys looking for donations, or what is kind of the best avenue for somebody?
You bet. We have a foundation, and our foundation is growing. We have great board members on our foundation, and we're trying to figure out the best philanthropic side, the giving side to JPS, and allow people to give us their donations. So if anybody is interested in financially helping JPS, we would be delighted. Because as I mentioned, 40% of mm-hmm. your tax dollars go to JPS. So 60% has got to be coming from somewhere else. So that philanthropic giving is hugely helpful to us. And it comes in big ways and it comes in small ways. We had 4,700 births at JPS last year, just being able to provide that family a car seat and diapers when they leave is really critical. And there may be some other places that may not be the key consideration. Yeah. But for some of our patients, that's really important. If we had donations that allowed everybody to leave with those two items, those are important. Or looking at trying to figure out what we do in behavioral health and mental health for a population that is not only challenging, but not talked about. And if we had large contributions that said, look, I'm really interested in establishing a wing at JPS for the reduction and the emphasis on adolescent suicide or whatever we may do, all of that is going to go for the cause of the betterment of our community and the continued life of people that we need in our community.
Yeah, and they can do that through the website?
Yep, they can do that through the website, and our foundation is on there. And
okay,
we'd be happy to have those donations. Our vice president of the foundation is a lady by the name of J.R. Labby, and she will be back flipping happy for every call that comes in that says, I want to donate to JPS.
Yeah, I bet.
Our board chair of our foundation is a wonderful person named Laura Wheat. Laura Wheat is the mayor of Westlake, Texas, and she's just a super person. She, too, will be excited to know that there are people that want to contribute to JPS, so we welcome those contributions.
Awesome. We can wrap up here with a couple easy ones. How do you personally stay healthy and sane managing a large health system?
I do it through a couple of ways. First of all, I have a great family. So I have an incredible daughter and an incredible wife who helped me a lot stay balanced. And I try to balance my time. But my daughter just started her first semester in college. And so I'm going through that transition, which, by the way, this whole empty nester thing is not all they write it up to be. I don't personally like being an empty nester. So it's been a challenge for me, but being a part of my daughter's life was important when she was in school here in Fort Worth. Going to every one of her field hockey games was really important. I went to pretty much every game I could go to for 4 years, and I still don't understand the rules of field hockey whatsoever.
Yeah, never been to one.
I cheered when they scored, and I was disappointed when the other team scored. That's about the extent of it. The other thing that I do that is medicinal is I raise Clydesdale horses.
Okay, that's different.
And not common, but they're wonderful to be around. They're very docile horses. They enjoy people. So they're if they don't step on you, they're very fun to be around.
Yeah, I bet.
And I enjoy that. So going home at the end of a long day and being in the barn and grooming a horse or being a part of that is really important. I also compete with them. So I take them up to Indiana and Iowa and I compete with them. And that is kind of a release for me. I really enjoy doing that. I think to life, with your life or anybody else's, it's important to create that balance. If you are out of balance and too much of your time is at work and you forgot your family and you wake up and find out that your son or daughter is in college and you didn't realize that, you got a big hole in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you neglect what's happening at work, you're not going to stay at your job. But if you keep that balance, I think you're healthier when you go to work, and I think you're healthier when you're at home. We make it a point at dinner to always talk about what you did during your day. Then after that, we deal with family time. I don't bring all my troubles home. We'll talk about them, but my workplace is my workplace and my family is my family. And so that balance helps me a lot. The only thing I've changed, I used to be a big bike rider and I've changed a little bit. I don't bike as much.
Why'd you get out of that?
Because as the horses grew older and they got more competitive and more athletic, I needed to keep up with them.
Okay.
So when I would take my horses to compete, I didn't want to be the dumbest one in the hitch. So I had to up my game a bit. So I had to curtail my bike riding. So I don't do centuries anymore. I used to do the Hotter Than Hell, and I'd go ride around beautiful Wichita Falls for 100 miles. I don't do that anymore, but now I'm taking horses to the Indiana and the Iowa State Fairs.
Okay.
And I'm proudly representing Texas in Iowa with 4 Clydesdale horses.
Okay. You've probably interviewed hundreds of people over the years. What's your favorite interview question?
The question that I enjoy is, tell me what's inside you. Tell me what your gut tells you. there's a lot of skill in people, and skill can be matched. It, to me, what's that driving force inside you? What is it that's going to wake you up in the morning and get you to work and make you go home excited to get home and then excited to get back the next day?
Yeah.
So I always ask questions that are not work-related, because those actually are quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
And people, particularly if they've been in the profession for any amount of time, have some stock answers to that.
Yeah,
I want to know, what are you doing outside of the workplace? Because if you're doing a lot of things outside of the workplace, you're probably better in the workplace. So, and I usually, with a few candidates, have gotten some really interesting stares, because I don't think they're ready for, tell me what you do outside of here. Do you have race cars? Are you a swimmer? Are you a bike rider?
Anything.
You art? What is it that you do? And some of them stumble on that because they just want to tell me how great they are. I had one candidate tell me, I come in early and I leave late. And I said, I don't find that an asset. I don't need you to come in early and leave late. I need you to come in on time and leave when it's time, because you'll come back the next day more refreshed.
Yeah.
You're working here until 2 o'clock in the morning. It probably means you're inefficient.
That's very true.
Yeah. And they're surprised.
Yeah, I bet. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate
it. That's my honor. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for giving the show a listen. Please do me a favor before you stop listening. Subscribe on whatever platform you're on. If you loved it so much and you've already subscribed, share this episode with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.